Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos, and I am here, as usual, with Sister Amen.
I'm here.
And we survived a cold and rainy day today, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It was kind of cozy.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
But we had to travel a bit to a new town, and when we got here, it was cold, it was rainy, it was windy. There wasn't much to do outside, so we decided to go into a marketplace and work online. And we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And young brother Kuo, who's up in Wisconsin, he was out flying signs today.
Yep.
And he had a great talk with a young man for like 15, 20 minutes, who was really seeking truth. And then he had another Roman Catholic man that he had to tell the truth to and kind of send him off and tell him, no, sir, you're being deceived and go test yourself at our website. So that was awesome. And then what happened, Sister Amen? We're sitting in a marketplace and I had just said, I'm going to go out in a van and make a recording. And I said, I'm kind of hesitant to leave you because the last two or three times I've left you, people have walked up to you.
I know.
And what happened 5 minutes later?
Yeah, there was a couple men standing there looking out the window at the van with all the gospel signs on it. We could hear them talking and they looked at us. They went and got a cup of coffee and they came back. They got a cup of something, I don't know. And they came back and sat down on some chairs next to the table there.
An older man about my age and a younger man, maybe half my age. And we had a conversation and it went pretty good for the man. I would say I have an audio about 20 minutes. I'd say for the first 10 minutes, it went okay. And we were just talking about what church they attend. The guy goes to a brother in church. And then we started getting into doctrine. I asked him to explain the gospel. Sister Amen, did that young man, he was doing all the talking, did he kind of stumble over the gospel? He's like, well, it's about Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, we get that a lot. You ask people what the gospel is and they have like, no clue.
Yeah.
You explain the path to eternal life. How does one
I was asked specifically.
Yeah.
I say to people, tell me what's the gospel and how do I find eternal life? So I'm very specific. And by the way, if you go to the Ecclesia page, I did an audio today. It's called Tourniquets and Applying the Gospel to Eternal Life. I talk about what Jesus did and how we have to rightly apply it. So that came out of this meeting encounter today. But yeah, it ended up not going so good. What hill did he die on, Sister Amen?
Yeah, when it came to like pagan holidays. Well, before this he'd already mentioned core beliefs.
Core beliefs versus not core.
Yeah, and we hear that like the fundamental or
non-essentials.
Non-essentials, that's right. Yeah. And so he was like running this big marathon trying to make a case for Romans 14 and liberty and then stretching it into other areas.
Yeah, he made a strange comment. He said, well, we got to rightly divide this. Some people drink water and some people drowned in it. And I was like, what are you talking about?
He ultimately
started defending once saved, always saved and Calvinism. Mm-hmm. And that's when we had to, I had to ratchet it up a little bit and it was still very nice and kind, but I said, no, I'm not going to let you twist God's word. And ultimately he got upset about that. He said, we got to go. And he got up and him and the older gentleman walked away and that's fine. And we're going to read based upon that. Well, you want to talk a little bit about that man that you had yesterday? I mean, that's kind of pertinent to this, isn't it?
Oh yeah. So, man came up to me yesterday, and I don't know if we didn't talk about this, apparently.
I don't think so.
I can't remember. So much goes on. And he had this piece, he had this pamphlet with him. It looked like he printed it off or whatever, and he's trying to tell me the scientific thing about the moon and the orbits of the earth, and I don't know. I kept
prophecies of Jesus.
Yeah, and he got to the prophecies of Jesus, and I was trying to politely, Brother Tupus was coming back in from the van, I was trying to be polite about him, and I was like, I was so totally confused. I don't know what that had to do with the gospel. And he ended up getting pretty, like, upset.
Yeah.
He walked away and come back a couple times. But by the time he was done, I was able to give him the whole gospel and tell him that if he didn't repent, he's going to lose his soul.
Yeah, he wasn't into preaching people the crucified Savior and calling them to repentance and obedience. He was more about, he's on a bent to prove to people who Jesus is. Well, in America, as Sister Amen rightly told him, most everybody we run into knows and believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and we just have to tell them how to apply the gospel to their life. We don't meet a lot of atheists and people that don't believe in Jesus at all. That's not a part of our ministry because we're in the middle of America and a lot of people are raised in false churchianity that happens to at least believe in Jesus.
Yeah, they have that part right.
Yeah.
What we need to help them with is how they need to repent, be born again.
The true gospel and how to apply it
to
your life. I will say he went after my wife, meaning he sat right down next to you.
It was a big booth and he sat way on the edge and I was up by the wall.
And I called him and left a message for him and sent him an email. Weird. And he hid from me in the dark. He refused to talk to me, but he went right after my wife. I didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, he was a Revelation 21:8 coward. He wouldn't even talk to Brother Tupos.
Yeah. And so this is going to lead us to our kind of just what we want to talk about was kind of like reasoning, disputing, contending.
And defending,
what do you say about that?
Well, you definitely need to learn how to do that. You also need to learn where the limit is when you don't anymore, which you just did today.
Yep.
I did with him and stuff. And so a lot of people think, you know, you're doing it wrong. You're too mean. You're too harsh. You're not letting them speak and all this other stuff. But we don't give a platform to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me read a scripture verse. Romans 16:17, one of my favorite verses. And I take this literal. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And avoid them. Sister Raman, those men today, were they teaching about division and doctrines contrary to what we've learned?
Oh, yeah.
And what does Paul say we should do with them?
Avoid.
Avoid them. So people say to me, well, you're not nice enough and you didn't find unity with them and you're not still communicating with them and you're not trying to walk with them in harmony. The Bible doesn't tell me that. The Bible says when they defend false doctrine as a heretic, I'm supposed to mark them, warn them, avoid them. Titus 3 says the same thing. What, Sister Amin, if we don't do that over our years, if we don't contend for the faith, mark people that bring false doctrine, try to correct them, but when they won't correct, if we don't mark them and avoid them, what's going to happen to our faith?
Well, at least two things that I'm just popping my mind. One, blood's going to be on our hands, and two, we're going to be just like them.
We're going to be compromised. We're going to be one of the 40,000 denominations. We're going to be ecumenical.
Yeah.
So what say you, Sister Evan?
You just said 40,000 denominations. I've had this in my notes. I was thinking about it. Remember the other day I was looking up something. We're in the area where there's a bunch of Hebrew Roots people.
Oh, yeah, Hebrew Roots.
Yeah, and when we're looking up events and places and kind of getting to know the area where we're going and stuff, I came across another flavor. It's probably been out there. I just haven't come across it. And I mentioned it to Brother Tupos. It's a Hebrew Roots-like group. They're KJV only, and they also claim you must be born again.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of strange for Hebrew Roots group. I
mean,
they
usually
just totally discount the New Testament.
Yeah, it's like bits and pieces of this and that.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, Ephesians 4:4-6, this is what we should strive for. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Yeah.
And so I preach that out on the streets a lot, and I know you do too, about one, but you can't just have one without contending. You
have
to contend for the one.
It's hard enough to have unity with people because there's so much flesh and sin and things involved in people that cause destruction, leaven, and destroy things, let alone you got to have sound doctrine. Otherwise, you don't even have a foundation to build on.
Yeah, what can you stand on?
Yeah. And so these people that come to us and try to tell us, oh, no, what you're standing on is secondary and it's not important and you're divisive. Well, I'll read you some scripture verses, some verses from my master. I definitely would say I'm divisive, and I'll tell you why I am, because the Bible tells me to divide from false teachers, people that teach heresy, and false doctrine. So I'll take it. I'm divisive.
Yep. Amen.
I wanted to read. We're talking about contending and reasoning and disputing. Acts 17:17. Therefore disputed he, talking about Paul, in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. Paul disputed. That means to argue. That means to like make a case for, to reason, to dispute. If you just go along with what everybody's saying, how are you really portraying the truth, preaching the truth, defending the truth, teaching the truth? You're not. It's like a police officer. If he just goes along and lets everybody break the law and he doesn't contend against it and correct them, write tickets, or arrest them, how is he being a law officer?
He's being a lawbreaker.
He's being a lawbreaker.
I have one on dispute. Acts 9:29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him.
Yeah.
How common is that? We get slayed with the word.
Yep, exactly.
Slaying him physically back
That's
then.
A good one. How about reasoning? Paul reasoned. Acts 8:4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So people that will talk with us will sit and will reason. When they start locking down or dying. We call it the hill they die on false doctrine, like once saved, always saved. I don't think you understand this if you're listening, saints and seekers. And when somebody says once saved, always saved is true, do you realize that they're calling Jesus Christ a liar? Because Jesus said you must endure. Jesus said you don't forgive your brother, you won't be forgiven. Jesus said, deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. And these people say, oh no, you're in no matter what. They are challenging the veracity of our Savior that must be contended against.
Right, amen. And just remember that, sisters, that's for women too.
Contending,
oh, yeah. Reasoning, disputing, we all absolutely stand for the things of
if
God.
If you don't stand fast in the truth and your faith, you're going to lose it.
Oh yeah, you got to protect it.
Amen.
I got one for reason. Acts 17:2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures.
Yep, and somebody's,
I like that, as his manner was.
Yep, and so all of these words mean kind of the same thing, but it's reason, it's dispute, it's argue to make a case against.
Oh, yeah.
It's not screaming and yelling at people. I don't do that, but it can get a little heated. It can get, no, you're wrong. No, you ever been to a court? A court case? In the court case, when they're arguing or they're planning or they're placing their arguments, it can get a little heated in there, and the judge has to say, oh no, overrule this or that. And so contending for the truth is what we must do. Jude tells us that in verse 3. Beloved, I gave it all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It's needful for me to write unto you and exhort that you should earnestly. What do you think that word earnestly means?
It would be diligent.
Yeah, with great gusto, you know.
Yeah.
Contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Why are we contending for this faith? Because it's only given once. It's one truth, one spirit, one word, one savior, one body. We can't allow people to start making a bunch of other ways.
No, huh?
And that word, contend, it means struggle for. I love that. Jesus said in Luke 13, strive to enter through the straight way. That's what we're doing out here.
That's pretty vigorous.
That is vigorous.
Yeah. That's active. Yeah, definitely. Well, I have one. It's kind of a... Yeah, well, it's Acts 11:2, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him.
Yep.
Well, if they're contending with him, yep, he has to contend with them.
Yeah, and that happened today. This guy, I asked him the gospel, and then he didn't know it. He goes, well, you tell me, and I start preaching the gospel, and he interrupted me. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't let me finish the gospel. Then when he started teaching false doctrine, I stopped him, and he told me, you're basically rude, you're interrupting me, you're divisive. And I said to the older man when they left, I said, why is it he can interrupt me in the gospel, and he's not divisive, but if I interrupt his false doctrine, I'm divisive? And the man just kind of shook his head. So it's kind of interesting. Somebody could punch you in the face, and if you punched them back, which I don't recommend, they would say, wow, you're violent.
Yeah,
I think they call that hypocrisy.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to be like that.
Yeah. I also was thinking about, people will always tell me, and this especially applies to me because I'm kind of bold and I'm kind of standing up in people's against people's false doctrine and standing up against them. People will tell me, well, you're always supposed to be gentle and kind and meek and soft. Well, there's
I know, I get that too.
Yes, Sister Rami gets it. And young, more quiet Brother Akuo gets it too. A man the other day told him, you're kind of divisive, because he was standing for the truth rather than rolling over for false doctrine.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how you say it, it's what you say.
Exactly.
But Paul did tell and command, ready? Titus 1:13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. This was people teaching false doctrine. Rebuke them sharply. It means stern, abrupt, quickly, harsh. Rebuke means correction. No, you're wrong. I'm going to stop you right there. Listen, this is the truth.
Yeah.
If we love the truth and we love people's souls, we don't go, well, I disagree with you, so let's just all get along. That's not what the Bible tells us to do. Titus 2:15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. People that tell you you're too harsh with false doctrine and false teachers, they never read these verses.
No, they don't.
1 Timothy 5:20 says, publicly rebuke those that are in sin so others will see and fear.
Yeah, because if you think about it, if you don't stop somebody from speaking false doctrine and heresies and lies, you're allowing them to trample the word of God right in front of
you. And stumble your neighbor.
Yeah.
You might as well let somebody pass out poison food.
Yeah.
If you knew somebody was passing out poison food to children or families, would you call the authorities and go, hey, they're poisoning people? Or would you go, oh, well, what can I do about it?
Let's just all get along. I don't want to cause
trouble. No, you would say, no, that's wrong. Don't eat his food. You'd mark him. Avoid that man. Because you love your neighbor.
Amen.
Any other verses, Sister Emmett?
No, not on this topic.
What else you got today?
Well,
I have one long verse I'm going to read at the end about our master related to this, but...
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I just have one scripture verse. 2 Timothy 4 kind of goes along with this kind of... I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Kept the faith, like Jude says, earnestly contend for it.
Yeah, so to keep it means that we have to keep it within us, and we're also keeping the faith what it is, which would include, like, defending it, contending, and reasoning.
We're light and salt. Salt preserves.
Right,
we got to preserve the truth.
And us especially being out on the street in front of everybody, and everybody walking up to us and coming up, and Satan sending a lot of his workers... You got to be ready for that spiritual battle. So you sisters, even though you don't get out much, maybe many of you probably don't, still study to show yourself approved.
Yep.
And keep pressing on in the word and make sure that you can stand for what the gospel is and what the truth is.
Yeah, because that's a great point. Because if people hear us in the street or in a marketplace or anywhere, or see us online, and if we don't contend for the faith, I always tell brothers and sisters, it's good to stand boldly for the truth, because if you don't, who's going to? The culture isn't. The churches aren't. The media's not. The internet, 99% of the time, isn't. If the biblical remnant and the street preachers aren't telling the truth, who's going to hear the truth? Paul says, how will they hear without a preacher in Romans?
Yeah.
And we preach the truth. So this young man today and this older man today met somebody that stood up for the truth, and I hope what it causes them to do is go, man, that guy pushed against pagan holidays and once saved, always saved. I hope they go on my website. I actually teach and have our articles that back all that up. By the way, they had nothing to offer us. They didn't have a gospel card. They didn't even want to tell us what their church was. I want to throw this in here. I'm so tired of meeting all these people. I call them armchair preachers. They don't do ministry. They're not out street witnessing. They don't even have a gospel card. They don't have a website. They don't consider themselves teachers. They won't even offer up what their church is and say we're biblical. Yet they show up, and what do?
They tell us what to do and how to do it.
They tell us, I'll give you an example. We're in a Denton Bed food store, and this man walks up to me, and he goes, that's your van out there? He was an older man, much older than me. And I said, yes, sir. He goes, you got all them signs on your van? And I said, yes, sir. He goes, well, those are nice, but he goes, you don't got near enough scripture. We need scripture. And I said, well, there's several scriptures on there. I said, but there's other words that point people. I said, they're just bullet points. And I said, it leads him to my website that's loaded with words. And he was like kind of, I would call him a crotchety old man, they say. He was kind of crabby. And he goes, well, you need a lot more scripture. And I said, sir, if I go look at your car, what's on your car out there? And he looked at me with the most surprised look. And he goes, well, I don't have no signs or nothing on my car. I said, okay, thank you. You're telling me how to do it and you don't do it, sir? I said, I think they call that hypocrisy. And that kind of is like, oh, well, okay. And he wanted to change the subject.
Yeah.
We get these people always telling us how to do it when they don't do it. Hey, we're open to be corrected. Maybe we do it wrong. Correct us, men. Correct me. Send me an email. But I'll tell you what, I hope what you're telling me to do, you do.
If it's biblical.
if it's biblical.
Yeah.
Or at least if you're practicing what you claim.
Oh, I know. Yeah, because I get women all the time. You're too mean. You're too judgmental. You got to be kinder. You got to be nicer. And they're doing absolutely nothing.
At least if somebody was doing something that they thought was right, at least they're doing it and it's not hypocrisy.
They're not being a hypocrite in that area.
This is, Jesus said it's the sin of the Pharisees. They tell you what to do and they don't do it themselves.
Oh, yeah, right.
Luke 12:1. Yeah. So. But, so we get a lot of that, and we like to lovingly correct people and say, no, you're wrong about that. You have to walk in what God has called us to, and we must earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. And so, by doing that, we love God and we love our neighbor.
Right.
Any other scripture verses, Sister Amin?
No, I think
any other thoughts?
No, we'd be here all night because there's a whole lot of them on contending and reasoning and standing for and protecting. And
yeah.
Just to encourage sisters, just stand strong in the word and stand always, always, always go back to the gospel.
Yeah, go back to the gospel.
That is our strength.
And it's loving to tell the truth. It's love to those people. It's loving to God. It's love to the body. It's good to be bold. Yes, we can be kind and gentle and meek. There is a time for a stern rebuke. There's a time to say, no, enough. I'm not going to let you sit here and spew false doctrine. So, men, knowing how to do that, when to do it, is important. Seekers, we sit and spend all the time, gentle and calm. And saints, you work with them and teaching them. People that want to hear the gospel, well, of course, you lay it out for them and want to hear sound doctrine. But people that push against sound doctrine and want to spew false teaching, they need a rebuke.
And yeah. Oh, yeah, that's they need the majority rebuke. Of them. Yeah.
And I want to read this long section of scripture. If you say, well, Brother Tupos, you're not a guy that, like, strives for peace enough. I want to read to you Matthew 10, 33 through 39, and we'll leave it right here. Jesus said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, I will deny him also before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be that of his own household. He that loveth his father more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Peace is great, and blessed are the peacekeepers. Mm-hmm. But it has to be in the truth of God. It has to be under his word. It has to be in sound doctrine. Otherwise, it ain't worth nothing.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So I think we're going to leave it right there. Anything else, Sister Armin?
No, I think that was pretty good.
All right, we're looking forward to tomorrow if the Lord gives it to us. It's supposed to be a beautiful sunny day. We've had a couple days of rain. We'd love to see some sun, everything dry out. We're going to go park down in a marketplace. City Square. And we're going to maybe sit outside if it's nice. And we fly our gospel signs. And we're in kind of a cult area that we know about this group. And it's right outside their businesses. And we're just going to fly our signs. And who knows, we might get to talk to people.
It's quite a conglomeration of different...
There's evangelicals, flavors. There's Anabaptists, there's Hebrew roots down here.
Yeah.
A lot of false teachers.
Yeah, we've been here before, and it's been lots and lots of conversations. Yep. So let's see what happens.
We would just want to go and be salt and light, and then we're moving towards that event that we're going to go stand out in thousands of people, and we're going to proclaim the truth and stand against the wave of corrupt evangelicalism. That's all I'll say right now.
I want to stand as a light for the Lord.
Amen. Above it. And we want to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. And we'll be gentle and peaceable with any seekers. And I will rebuke the mockers teaching false doctrine.
Last year, there was a 15-year-old that came over to me when you were contending for the faith with somebody. And he ended up emailing you afterwards quite a bit.
Yeah, so we love to stand for the truth of God. That's what he called us to do.
And when I want to say 15-year-old, his grandpa was with him.
Yep. Yeah, his grandpa was with him. Yeah. His grandpa was with him, and I asked him was okay, and he said, yeah, that I could talk to him, and we talked more. So
I just wanted to put that
in. Yeah, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. So, all right, we're going to leave it right there. Hope that you are striving for the kingdom of God. Test all things.
Amen.
Hopefully you're walking in sound doctrine that saves. Go read 1 Timothy 4:16. Check out the Ecclesia page. I just added that new teaching on tourniquets and applying the gospel. It takes more than just knowing what Jesus did. You actually have to obey him and apply it to your life.
Amen.
Love y'all.
May God be praised.